Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And a couple of years ago, veteran journalist T.R. Reid, who you might know from his NPR work, was here with his around-the-world look at how other industrialized nations provide their citizens with universal health care. Now he's back with a new look at how, even without Obamacare, some places in the U.S. have been doing a good job of offering affordable, quality care. Welcome back to the show, T.R. Reid. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Delighted to be here. As I've told you many times, my whole family loves your show.
I'm glad to hear. So you look at several systems that seem to be doing good work. Is the idea in this clip where they all start?
If you build a system, as we've done in this community, that focuses on the delivery of high-quality care, you wind up building a less expensive system. Because, here's a scoop, healthy people cost less than sick people do.
So our first clip from T.R. Reid's documentary, U.S. Healthcare, The Good News. And who was that speaking?
That's Steve Erkenbrack. He's the head of the nonprofit insurance company in Grand Junction, Colorado. This is a town of 120,000 on the border between Colorado and Utah. And this is what he said is what I heard when I went around the world. It seems counterintuitive to Americans, Brian, but if you cover everybody, you spend less. And in this community, they found a way to get everybody covered, even though the state of Colorado is 18% uninsured. And guess what? They spend about 40% of the national average per person on health care and have better results than most communities.
And you use something called the Dartmouth Atlas of Healthcare to find these best practices. How big a variation is there across the country in healthcare spending?
Three times as much. For example, if you look at Medicare billing records, Medicare spends about $8,700 a year for the average senior. In some counties, Medicare spends $17,000 a year. In this Grand Junction, Colorado, and a few other counties, $6,000 a year per senior. And guess what? The care is just as good in the place as spending a third as much.
How do you explain it?
A lot of it is doctors who have decided that they think their costs are too high and they want to control costs. I don't know, this movie kind of completely changed my picture of doctors. I thought they were all saving up for the next Lexus and going to the country club, you know. But in our movie, we meet doctors who say, look, I'm responsible for the physical health of my patients, but I'm also responsible for the fiscal health of my community, so I've got to cut my costs.
One doctor you interview says a third of all healthcare spending is unnecessary. And funny enough, that stat got widely cited in the news this week when that group of medical boards and Consumer Reports recommended cutting back radically on tests that are ordered. They were citing that same statistic that a third of all healthcare spending is unnecessary. You think that's a widely accepted figure?
There's some debate about it, but I think that's in the range, yeah. And if you take a third of healthcare spending in America, that's $800 billion a year. That would easily cover the uninsured and give a raise to every nurse along the way. So I'll give you an example. Let's say a patient goes into the doctor for her physical. She looks fine, but she has high blood pressure. And the doctor says, man, you got to eat better, you got to exercise, and I'm going to give you this pill. Woman takes the pill for a month. She goes back to the doctor. Her blood pressure is in the normal range. He says, oh, this is looking good. Come back and see me in. And when should she come back? Well, in some counties in America, the answer is come back in a year. In some counties, the answer is come back in 2 weeks. And Medicare pays for all 26 of those visits if the doctor recommends them, whether they're necessary or not.
So, Grand Junction, Colorado, where they sort of started their own local universal coverage. Here is a doctor named Patrice Whistler speaking in your documentary.
I think the reason that Mesa County can give higher quality care at lower cost than other places in the country is because we all think every minute of every day, what's the best thing for the patient? How does the cost get involved? How can we keep those costs down? And how can we make sure that as many people as possible are insured and that every doctor takes that insurance?
Dr. Patrice Whistler from T.R. Reid's new documentary, U.S. Healthcare, The Good News, which will air next Thursday, April 12th at 10 p.m. on Channel 21, the Long Island Public Television Station, Channel 21. And here's another clip from the documentary that gets to a related big issue.
It's a question of focus. It's a question of do you approach healthcare as something that you are doing for your community, or is it only a business?
And gosh, that might be written off by some people as socialism.
Well, no, it's not socialism. It's community concern. It's caring about your community. And you know what? Lots of doctors do. Now, there certainly are doctors who run the meter and order every possible test they can think of and have you come back every 2 weeks whether you need it or not. But what we found in this, all over the country, we found in this movie, docs who are really working hard to cut the cost of health care. And, of course, that cuts their income. But they don't care because they feel a responsibility to help the community.
This is a hard sell, I think, because you're telling people to accept not necessarily the best medical care, but good enough, and that it will be good enough on average to only come back every year instead of every 2 weeks, to use that same example, even though somebody might feel like they're taking fewer chances by coming back more frequently.
Oh, I don't buy that. No, as you saw, the professor at Dartmouth in our movie says having too many tests can be bad for your health. You know, those CAT scans, they build up radiation in your system. So the idea of let me test, not only does it waste money, it's not necessarily better medicine.
What about a city like New York with such wide disparities in income? I can't see all the doctors in town getting together and organizing like they do in Little Grand Junction.
Yeah, is that true for New York? We showed our movie in New York, and the president of a very high-cost hospital in New York said this should never be allowed to be on TV because, hey, tough, big Manhattan, we can't do what they do in Seattle or these other towns. I think New York could do it. I think if New York had doctors who were concerned about the cost they're imposing on the community, they could do something about it.
Seattle was the largest city that you visited for this piece, right?
Yes.
And Seattle is a big, diverse city. Did they have to do it differently there than in Grand Junction, for example?
The model is completely different. Grand Junction is kind of a standard American town, 88 independent medical practices, two competing hospitals. But in Seattle, we went to this group health. It's 1,000 doctors all working for one boss and the insurance company under the same roof. So it's a different model, but guess what? The same results. Very good care. One-third the average cost.
I noticed that electronic medical records show up a lot in the cost-effective medical programs that you visited for the documentary, and this is something on which there's been a lot of bipartisan agreement, setting up a kind of universal electronic medical record system so doctors could see what other doctors have done with you and stuff like that. But a new study found that rather than cut costs as expected, they can just make it easier for doctors to order more tests and lead to higher costs. How do electronic records figure into cost savings?
The places that we went use them partly to compare because it gives you an easy way to compare costs. You have two patients with the same problem, say a broken ankle, and Dr. X treated it for $10,000 and Dr. Y treated it for $6,000, and they use that comparison to see if they can get Dr. X to cut his costs next time.
Now, would Obamacare, if it withstands judicial review, help promote the kinds of practices that you're identifying as best practices in your film, or would Obamacare discourage them, or would it be beside the point?
Yeah, it's debatable. Obamacare has this controversial board, the Independent Payment Advisory Board, IPAB. Every doctor in America hates this board because it's going to set costs. And IPAB could say, we're not going to let you charge three times as much as Seattle does for the same procedure. So it's possible. But, you know, Brian, I think the message of our movie is we don't have to wait for some board in Washington. This is going on in communities around the country now. If doctors and if the payers, if big employers say, doggone it, we want to get our costs down, it can be done. You don't have to wait for Obamacare.
Is it on the private insurers then? Because to have all the doctors voluntarily decide to put community you know, interest over their personal income interest, well, you know, what voluntary regulation is an oxymoron in my book.
We found three impulses for getting control over costs. In many towns, it was the doctors themselves, as I said, who said they just felt a responsibility to get their costs down. In some towns, it's the big employer who's buying lots of health care in that town, goes to the doctors and goes to the hospitals and says, hey, I'm paying too much, get your costs down. And in some towns, it's the insurance company, that fella you played who said, the question is this a business or is it a community service?
He
was an insurance executive in his town.
And we have to
come way down.
Leave it there. T.R. Reid, his documentary, U.S. Healthcare, The Good News, airs next Thursday on Channel 21. You can also watch it online. Just follow the links on our show page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer's show. T.R. Reid, thanks a lot.